Lots of people are looking for escape these days, a psychic break from the horror of September 11th and its aftermath. Book critic Maureen Corrigan is finding solace in an unlikely literary form, the Gals, Guts, and Guns school of hard-boiled detective fiction.
Humor is a weapon too, right? It diffuses tension, gives us the illusion of control, and shows that we aren't running scared. To find a reason to laugh in these dark times, my friend Norma and I have been trading stories about the survival tips our mothers have been giving us. You see, both our mothers are dizzy dames of a certain vintage. Over the past month, they've also both metamorphosed into field commanders and payload experts. My mother keeps phoning to remind me to stock up on club soda and lots of Diet Coke in case the water supply is contaminated. Norma's mother phoned her the other day to warn her to be careful of that Amtrak that's going around. Oy. The other way Norma, myself, and many of my other reader friends are coping is by reading mysteries. Of course, we're reading the newspapers and other things, but our novels of choice right now are detective stories. Stories that set out to explore, in Raymond Chandler's immortal phrase, a world gone wrong. When Lawrence Block's latest mystery, starring hard-boiled detective Matt Scudder, came out a few weeks ago, I inhaled it in two nights. Hope to Die, as it's called, is a bit grisly, but otherwise pitch perfect. For one thing, like all the Scudder books, it's set in New York City, and Scudder, like many New Yorkers, is a big walker. In this story, which takes place in the summer, he takes marathon hikes down Broadway and also into Brooklyn. Here's a snippet of description of his stroll through Brooklyn's Midwood neighborhood. I got my bearings and headed west on Avenue J, a commercial street that ran heavily to kosher restaurants and bakeries. The neighborhood had been solidly middle class and Jewish in those days when pretty much all of Brooklyn was Jewish or Irish or Italian. From the signage, it was still a Jewish neighborhood. There was more ethnic variety on Coney Island Avenue, where a kosher dairy restaurant was flanked by a Pakistani grocery and a Turkish restaurant. I walked past used car lots and credit jewelers, crossed a couple of streets, and followed the house numbers down to the one I was looking for. The gumshoe tour of New York that Hope to Die provides is reassuring because Scudder has mastery over the streets, streets that now seem much more vulnerable. It also reminds readers of the inspirational, jam-packed diversity of the city, what many people consider to be the American city, where democracy really is visible on the streets and inside the crowded office towers. And because this is a hard-boiled mystery, even after Scudder officially closes his case, the ambiguity of evil lingers. That ending seems a fitting fictional mirror to the present murky war against terrorism we're engaged in. The mystery genre, both American and British strains of it, came of age during wartime. Dashiell Hammett and Raymond Chandler were both dazed veterans of World War I. Agatha Christie finished her first novel in 1915 while she was volunteering in a hospital dispensary. And the so-called golden age of British mysteries is bookended by World Wars I and II. There's something about mystery stories that qualifies them as a genre for dangerous times. It's something to do with their familiar comforting formula, the way the detective probes a problem no one else can quite get a handle on, and their often uneasy sense of resolution. Sometimes a good thriller can even make a reader feel vicariously empowered in the face of evil. Take Eric Ambler's aptly named 1940 classic Journey into Fear, one of those tales about an ordinary man caught in an extraordinary situation. In this case, a British scientist stuck on a small ship finds himself the target of a Nazi assassination squad, and over the course of the harrowing voyage, moves from panic to psychological surrender to fierce patriotic resistance. I love Ambler's agitprop adventure fantasy, but the story that really strikes a chord with me these days is encased in what's, for my money, the greatest mystery novel ever written, Dashiell Hammett's The Maltese Falcon. A third of the way through that novel, Sam Spade tells a story about a missing persons case he once solved, involving a man named Flitcraft, who vanished one afternoon on his way to lunch. Spade found him, and in this passage, he recalls Flitcraft's explanation for his disappearance. Going to lunch, he passed an office building that was being put up, just the skeleton. A beam or something fell 8 or 10 stories down and smacked the sidewalk alongside him. It brushed pretty close to him, but didn't touch him, though a piece of the sidewalk was chipped off and flew up and hit his cheek. He was scared stiff, of course, he said, but he was more shocked than really frightened. He felt like somebody had taken the lid off life and let him look at the works. I felt a little like Flitcraft since September 11th, as though somebody had taken the lid off life and let me look at the works. I guess that's why, apart from their obvious escape value, I'm turning to hard-boiled mysteries for reassurance, because the most intelligent mysteries also take the lid off life and then slap it back on, somewhat askew.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University.